Father, as we come before you this evening, we thank you for each and every one that came out tonight, family member that came out tonight. Thank you for traveling mercies for each one that brought each one out. And yes, we even thank you for this scorching day that we had. No matter where we were at, we appreciate the fact that we were able to progress through the day and get in your will, and no matter what was said and done. I thank you again for this message that you laid upon my heart. It hits close to home for myself, and I think many others as well, as far as humans go. But I thank you for the message behind it and the meaning behind it. I pray hearts would be open. I pray pray that they'd be receptive. I thank you again for each one that brought out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. This is way hot right now. Okay. We're going to be, if you'd turn with me first, please, to Romans 12. That's where we're going to start. We're going to start with verses 1 through 8, if you would. Romans 12. We're looking at humble service in the body of Christ. Paul was talking about our gifts. We each are born with gifts, special gifts to use in the body of Christ for Christ to further the purpose. And this is where Paul's talking about using them and how to use them. Just a few. I mean, there's only seven. But we also touch on a subject that's near and dear to my heart, like I said. Grumbling and complaining. I think human beings, I think that's just part of human nature. I think to grumble and complain. I always said I'd always got to complain about how hot it is, but I never complain how cold it gets. But we do. I mean, this isn't a finger-pointing session or anything else. I look at myself in the mirror each and every day. And staring right back, I mean, we were our own worst enemies a lot of times in situations when it comes to grumbling and complaining about things, whether it be politics, whether it be the news we heard, what caused us to hit a depressive funk or maybe a down low there or whatever, the weather. There's a lot of things that we have a tendency to grumble and complain about. But we're going to look at what Paul talks about as far as the gifts here. If he's following, we're going to read 1 through 8 as far as time goes tonight. But please follow along with me there if you would. I'm going to start in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. We're going to stop right there. We're going to look at Paul talks about there's seven gifts there right there: prophecy, service of ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, and leadership and mercy. But he describes seven spiritual gifts distributed to different members in the body of Christ at this time. Like any good leader, he recognizes his role as a broker of gifts, talents, and resources. He urges everyone to discover, develop, and distribute his or her gift. Every resource God provides should be in use. Every believer is a steward of the abilities he or she has been given. Every leader is a manager whose goals should be able to maximize everyone's gifts. gift of prophecy he's talking about here is one. Number one is to challenge others by declaring God's truth and calling for action. As it says in 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Now, if you turn with me quickly to Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to look at verses 14 and 15. It's just two verses. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So much for grumbling and complaining, I guess. He just shot that theory out of the water. He said, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Obviously, complaining or muttering, complaining, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Doesn't sound like he's talking directly to us, being children of God in America today, with the way the world's going, with the way our country, let alone the world's going today. Without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That's what we're supposed to do, is lights in the world. We're supposed to shine, as he talks about here, without grumbling and complaining. I know, like I said, we have a tendency to do it no matter what. Human beings are creatures of habit sometimes, and even that can be an addiction. I mean, grumbling and complaining, you can let that become an addiction in your life. Just like I tell the guys that I deal with, I'm running a class tomorrow night up in Warren, and I'm doing it on ethics, and they're going to get an earful on that one. But it's just like I told them, if you let anything, it can become an addiction, like whether it be hatred, whether it be anger, jealousy, love, even grumbling and complaining. I've heard people that do it nonstop, daily. You ever see that whenever you're going through the day, when you get up in the morning, you get up in a good mood and then hit that person, you hear some grumbling, complaining coming out of somebody at work, and all of a sudden your day turns bad all of a sudden? They call it the mirror effect. It's in the 48 Laws of Power written by Brown. That's what they call the mirror effect. It works both ways. I mean, you can put a smile on somebody's face that's having a bad day, but it's like looking in a mirror. Or they can put a frown on your face, depending on what kind of day they're having. Once they get out of bed, if they got out of bed on the left-hand side of the bed or whatever the case may be. But there's a lot of things to grumble and complain about. I mean, like I said, I'm looking at myself more so than anything else because, I mean, whether we find politics, whether we find the day wherever we work, what we may do for work, we don't like work, whether it be a Monday when we go into work, the second Monday of the week, the third Monday of the week, whatever the case may be. We find ourselves right back in the old way of things as far as grumbling and complaining. But back in Romans, Paul was talking about humble service in the body of Christ. There is no level to gifts. We each have gifts. We're each born with a gift or many gifts. God give us to further his word in this world. Whether it be teaching, whether it be to preach, whether it be to minister, as far as missionaries go, whether it be song, music, piano, whatever the case may be, we all have gifts. But America's kind of westernized. We have a westernized theory of a lot of things. We kind of redefined it, just like the Christianity has been redefined down through the years, down through the decades. And the gifts, they have a tendency to put like a price on gifts. There's different levels. They think there's different levels. They think a preacher is up all the way up here, but someone that sweeps the church, the janitor that sweeps the church and cleans the church each and every week, dedicated service no matter what. But it comes down to the fact that sin is just like sin. There is no level of sin. Sin is sin, whether it be a little white lie or whether someone goes to prison for homicide. Sin is sin. Gifts are gifts that we're given. There's no one greater than the next. Whenever you're doing work, I find whenever I work, I want to go back to work because I went back to where I had to go back to the plant because I got laid off. Most of everybody knows that they laid us off up there and the program shut down. But I knew what I was walking back into in the plant, and it doesn't stop the grumbling and complaining. But I have a tendency to stop. I have to stop and think because you have to reprocess. That class that I took as far as the recovery specialist, that helped quite a bit for me as far as stopping and thinking before you progress, before you move forward. Because, your brain. Grumbling and complaining takes up half. The process, the job that you have to do takes up the other half. Now, why exert the energy and waste the energy on grumbling and complaining? Because it takes energy. I mean, it sucks the energy out of us the more we do, because it'll put you in a depressive mood. It'll drop you down into a depressive mood, and you just don't feel good. You don't feel like doing nothing the rest of the day except just sitting, going home, and enjoying whatever. But why not eliminate the grumbling and complaining, so we have the whole to focus on the task at hand, whether it be a preacher, a teacher, a worker in a factory, working with people, teaching people, saying a choir director, music leader, whatever the case may be. There's not a lot of energy we have as far as to waste on grumbling and complaining. And that's the way I look at it. Everybody can look at it a different way. Everybody would handle it a different way. But it's sort of a waste of time to focus on that. And the devil loves distraction. That's all the grumbling and complaining. It winds up, if you really look at the end result, it's distraction, pure and simple. It's distraction that keeps us from worshiping our God, or furthering the Great Commission like we were supposed to do, helping others through this life, whether it be addicts or whether it be other Christians that just fell down along the way, need help, need a lift along the way, whoever it may be. They see that in your life. They're always watching. They're always measuring each and every day your actions, because once again, actions speak louder than words, obviously. A lot of people can talk in today's day and age. A lot of people do talk, and it's sad, but just like Paul says, talks about here, prophecy, service of ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, mercy, even if it's just being a prayer warrior, praying for Vacation Bible School to go well, praying for our pastor each and every week. I think pastor says, there's someone, a pastor in the area, that calls up and makes sure he knows he's praying for him each and every week. People in the church, our family, the family of God. I mean, that's what I was going to do with the song I was going to run with tonight, the family of God. But it, in a sense, like I said, if we don't waste our time with the grumbling and complaining, if we stop, take a few steps back, think about it, eradicate it, kick it out. Like I said, Satan loves to distract us, and that's one of the biggest issues, that he'll distract us with anything, whether it could be anything from money to houses to cars to grumbling and complaining. It could be anything. It's a distraction nonetheless. And it can be, like I said, told the guys up there, it can be, if you let it become an addiction, it can become an addiction. You just won't let go of it. It doesn't take long to create a habit for humans to form a habit. It takes quite a bit longer to unform that habit, to get out of that habit, to break that habit. And it's just easier all the way around, just not start to begin with, I think, so it doesn't get started. But as far as that goes, I was going to run, because of time, I don't have, but for the rest of the chapter, 12, if you look at 9 through 21, it's a wonderful study. If you look at 13, even chapter 13, it talks about submission to governing authorities. That might not be too enjoyable, but love in action is in general. It's a phenomenal study. Relationships, if you get along, they will go along. It talks about throughout the remainder of the chapter. It's a wonderful study. If you have a time to do it on your own, get a chance to. I would recommend highly going over it daily, if not once a week, but it helps. But like I said, when it comes down to human beings, we're creatures of habit, and we have a tendency to let things happen. We have a tendency to try to justify as well. I have a tendency to try to justify the grumbling and complaining that I do. But it doesn't matter if it's about the weather, or it doesn't matter if it's about people driving that can't drive on the road, but or whatever the case may be. We justify it, and there's ways around it, with justification all the way around. But like I said, when it comes down to it, in the end, it's just it's another habit we're going to have to break. We have to get ourselves out of that circle, that hamster wheel that keeps going around and around throughout life, and causes more problems than it does good, in my opinion. But I've seen that it caused a lot more problems than it does good in other people's lives as well, especially with the class, like I said, with classes and the guys, the people I've talked to and worked with throughout the months, these last months and weeks. And everybody has a different story. Everybody comes from a different viewpoint. We're all like fingerprints. There's no two alike. And our lives parallel most of the time, and with others, whether it be Christians, whether it be people we know, people we don't know. And sometimes they even intersect with other people's lives, because they intersect with certain types of certain things that happen to them, certain things that they go through, trials that they go through. But that's why we're here, to help each other out, to help each other through these situations. And to be, like I said, to be a humble service in the body of Christ, Paul is talking about, it's the same thing as trying to tie your hands behind your back and going into a fist fight. I mean, that's not going to work too well for one person, for somebody. And that's what Paul was talking about here when he's talking about the members. For each has his own body of many members, and the members do not all do the same function. Everybody has a job. Everybody has a gift. And we're supposed to uplift these gifts, these people, everybody with these gifts, no matter what they may be, whether it be prayer, whether it be song, whether it be preaching, teaching, missions, anything. We pull along right alongside as Christians. That's our job, to pull right alongside and to help that member out if it's struggling. Just like Kevin would say, he's got a few broken bones. When a bone gets broken, the rest of the body has to pull together and help out. I mean, when you lose one function, whether it's fingers, whether it be eyesight, earsight, everything else, you should have a tendency to sharpen. The eyesight has a tendency to sharpen, or your hearing has a tendency to sharpen when you lose one or the other. And the body comes together to help out. It's the same way in the body of Christ. And it's just like Kevin was talking about, the churches are having problems today. A lot of people, these folks that I talk to, like I talk to at RU tomorrow, and the guys and everything else, they've been burnt by these churches. And they've been burnt by so-called Christians in the church. And they're kind of gun-shy when it comes to walking into a church. It doesn't matter what denomination or anything else. And that's where they need help and acceptance when they come in. And a listening ear, more than anything else, that's what they're looking for, an ear to listen to, whatever the case may be, whether it be their life story, whether it be their needs, whatever the case may be, their past life, what happened, where they plan to go in the future, what they plan to do with the future. And it's the same thing as the church here, what he's talking about. each member has its own job, and together as a whole, as a unit, it's the same as the military, anything else, whatever you may talk about, together as a unit, they can be unstoppable for Christ. But if you're going to tie one hand behind the back, behind their back, and take it out of play and not help it, just leave it dead, leave it hang, you have a tendency to get run over by life and the situations in life. And sometimes you need a listening ear yourself. But it all comes down, like I said, when it comes down to choice, just like the ethics class I'm going to give tomorrow, it all comes down to a moral choice, a moral foundation. Where's your moral foundation built? What's your moral foundation built on when you make these choices, right or wrong? And that's where it comes down to. The moral foundation we need is here, right in front of us. It's the word of God. It's the truth of God, the word of God. And that comes through the gift of prophecy, the gift of service or ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, mercy. Just like I wouldn't be here today if I didn't have people praying for me in the past. For God got me. That's a plain and simple fact. You have prayer warriors that have a heart and dedication each and every day to pray for someone because they need that prayer. Zach, Jason, the rest of the guys can say the same thing. They can tell you the same thing. We're too busy running ahead of life and making these choices, making our own choices. We don't pay attention to the curves and the roads. And some of these gifts that we have a tendency to fall by the wayside. I mean, like I said, I'm looking in the mirror, right in the mirror. I haven't done much as much as I would like to with music. And distractions happen. Like I said, life takes a place and keeps going. And you have a tendency to forget some of the gifts that we've been given to use. And you need to get them back on, dust them off the shelf, and get them back off that shelf and start using them ahead, trying to further the word of God, his truth out there today, because the truth that Satan's pushing out there today is insane. I mean, the truth, these so-called truths that I'm hearing through social media and everything else, they're insane. There's no logic behind it. What's funny, it's almost like math. You should have an equation that can prove theory, but they're not proving nothing. I mean, it's just all they're doing is talking. And it's considered facts, considered truth. And that's not the fact. The facts is we hold the truth in front of us right here. And with the gifts that we have, that just furthers our power that we have through Christ to reach others. Even if it's right here in our backyard, outside these doors, in this city, the next town over. I mean, you don't have to run across the pond to Europe or anywhere else as far as missions goes. Yeah, you can do. There's people, plenty of people here that need just as much help or more help, and because of a lot of things, because of decisions made and poor choices made, and gifts that were put on the shelf and not recognized, not realized that they have. That's the best thing to see whenever you can help someone realize the potential, realize the gift that they have, a gift that they have that will help them further the word of God, the truth out there, to get the truth to each and every one out there. When their face lights up, when they finally realize what gifts they do have, it's an awesome thing. And it's a wonderful thing to help, be able to help. Most of these guys like that. But that's in a sense, that's what Paul is talking about here when he's talking about gifts. He just listed seven, but there's many. There's hundreds, thousands each one. Like I said, each one of us have a particular gift or gifts, and we should be using them to the best of our abilities. I mean, 100%. We're doing everything for the audience of one. There's no, doesn't matter who else is involved in the conversation, but the gifts are for the audience of one. That's it. pray, playing the piano, whether we're singing, whether you preach, whether you teach, whatever the case may be. Even if, like I told the guys at work, even if you're just cleaning toilets for a living, you do it the best of your ability. You do that to the best of your ability, like you're doing it as unto Christ. And then nobody, they can't ask anything. They can't ask any more of you, from you. And like I said, there's no level to gifts. These gifts, there's no level to sin. Sin is sin. The gifts are gifts. There is no up here and down here. These gifts up here and these gifts down here. The rewards we send on to heaven, we're gonna be laying in the car at God's feet anyhow. It doesn't matter if you have a lot or just a few. They're gonna be all. Everybody's gonna be laid there. They're gonna lay their gifts at God's feet anyhow. And thanks and thankful for the service for what He's done for us, for the mercy and the grace He's shown us throughout our lives here on this earth. And it's an awesome thing to be part of that and to be to help these guys and help folks, help the unsaved, to be part of that. But I would definitely recommend the rest of the chapter 9 through 21 and then on to 13 for a personal study. But just keep in mind is search for those gifts. And each and every day, whenever you have a tendency to grumble and complain about whatever the case may be, if you find yourself grumbling and complaining about something, back up a few steps, think about it, and you get a whole new aspect, whole new outlook on the problem or on the situation, on how to fix the situation, whatever the case may be. But that's what I have. But join me in prayer, if you would, please. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening, we thank you again for the family that came tonight. I thank you for the traveling mercies. I thank you for this message. I thank you that it hit home, and each and every day it hits home. I pray your will be done in our lives, each and every one of our lives, whatever is said and whatever is done. I pray for strength, guidance, and wisdom and direction each and every day, to follow the gifts, to find the gifts, to use our gifts, to help others find their gifts. It's a domino effect. It keeps moving. It keeps going. It keeps ahead and keep paying it forward. I thank you again for each and every family member here again today, the health and the strength you give them, and the ability to get through each and every day with health and strength, guidance, and wisdom and direction. Thank you again for the beautiful